Now, I go into the book of Revelation whenever I can get into it. Sometimes the Lord will stop me as he did this morning. Perhaps there's somebody sitting in the audience that he's interested in me talking to. And he'll stop me from getting into something that's too deep. We had a couple here this morning. I don't know whether they're here tonight or not, but they came over from the Amish church. And, you know, the Amish people, they follow a pattern of the Jewish people. And we had said here a good long while back, the Lord would start dealing with the Amish people, and they would start responding, and it would have to do with the Jews. And sure enough, the couple that was here this morning received that real well. And the man said, y'all believe like we do. And he took some money and told Bill he wanted to buy a tape. So it's wonderful, Brother John, to know that they're interested in the things of God. I guess there's one thing that's fascinating about what we're doing here. We're not pushed off in a corner and just trying to reach one religious sect of people, or maybe one denomination. But through our endeavor to reach mankind, we're reaching people all around the world of every nature and every description. The Baptist people are responding. The Methodist people are responding. The Catholic people are responding. The Pentecostal people are responding. The non-denominationals, the Amish, people all over the different parts of the nation. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The Bible said, preach the gospel to every creature. It's not one denomination that's going, it's just some out of each denomination. It's not just one nationality of people or one sect of people, but it's some out of all nationalities. I believe that when I get to heaven, that I'll see the black man, I'll see the white man, I'll see the red man, and I'll see the yellow man. I believe there'll be some Germans there, and there'll be some Chinese there. I believe there'll be some people from India there, and I believe there'll be some from Israel, and I believe there'll be some over in the Holy Land that didn't make it. I believe there'll be a lot of Jews that'll be turned into hell, but I believe there'll be some Jews that'll be saved. There'll be a lot of Gentiles that'll be turned into hell, but I believe there'll be some that'll be saved. I believe there'll be a lot of the Caucasian people that will be saved and a lot of them turned into hell. I believe there will be the Spanish, some saved, some turned into hell. I believe the black man, there'll be some saved, some turned into hell. But I believe God will turn all nations into hell that forget God, for the Bible says so. And I'm a believer in the Word of God. So then God is not looking for a certain sect of people or a certain kind of people in the sense of what nation or denomination they belong to, but rather those people that love the Lord Jesus Christ that's been born again, that has been filled with His Spirit. He doesn't care what color they are. He made them all for His own pleasure. He doesn't care whether they're educated or not educated. He doesn't care whether they're poor or rich. The thing that he's interested in is, do they have salvation? Have they believed on his son? That's what God's looking for. So then that's what I believe. I believe there'll be a lot of you people that'll be turned into hell. I can feel your spirits tonight. I feel them when I come here day to day. Don't say a lot about it, but I believe some of you sitting here will be turned into hell because I know your spirits ain't right with God. But nevertheless, I believe there's some Bethlehemites, if we want to use it that way, that'll be in heaven. I believe we've got some people here that'll be in heaven. The Bible said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And I believe we've got some black people here, and some white people here, and some Spanish people here, and different kind of people here that are living for God. And I believe we've got some Spanish people, and some black people, And the white man, I believe we've got some here that's living like the devil. And I believe they'll go to hell, whereas the others will go to heaven. So then I say again, it's not who you are in that sense, but it's what you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read just a little bit from the book of 2 Peter. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I've read this scripture quite a number of times, but I want to enlarge upon it just a little bit, maybe from the 16th verse on down. But I'd like to start at the first verse, and maybe we will get over into the book of Revelation. I noticed that the people that are worldly are becoming more worldly and more hardened. And I noticed that the people that are godly are becoming more godly. And I noticed that some of my people here at Bethlehem, that some of them are beginning to be more godly and more concerned. Here a few months back, rather than making progress, it looked like that the whole church was going to be lost. It seemed like people had lost their interest in Christian things. They were still coming to church. But so far as being spiritual, it appeared that they were not spiritual. But all of a sudden, they took a change. And there's been a great awakening and a great interest from the people that seem to love God. Whether they became afraid because of the Iranian crisis or not, I don't know. You know, everybody gets religious when judgment starts coming. And everybody wants to change their way of living. You take a drunkard or a murderer or whatever he might be, a thief. You know, if he sees the Lord coming with the sword, he decides that he don't want to be a thief all of a sudden. And he decides he doesn't want to be a murderer or whatever. Because nobody wants to go to hell and nobody wants to be lost. But there's a whole lot of people that would have love to have the benefits of the lust of the flesh all of their life and still go to heaven. You know, the devil would love to do that. But anyway, there was a great change, and I certainly hope that it was out of your heart. It appears that it was out of your heart. So I can't really feel that it was because of fear of the Iranian crisis, because it appears that it's out of your heart. And I certainly hope that it is, and if it is, it'll continue on. You know, a person that wants to do wickedly and a person that wants to do evil, I don't care what you do for them, all they're going to do is turn around and spit in your face and just do more wickedly. Jesus died for the people, spilt his blood, the blood run down his vesture. All they did was spit in his face, pluck his beard, curse him, and mock him, though he was delivering them from their evils and delivering them from their sufferings, giving them opportunity. Yet they didn't want to be delivered. There's people that don't want to live right. There's people that don't want to do right. They love the wages of unrighteousness. They love to do wickedly. They love to do evil. And no matter how much you help them, just as quick as they get a chance, they're going right back to the hog pens. And sooner or later, the Bible teaches the dart shall strike through the liver. You want a fool, he'll continue on until the dart strikes through the liver. You want a wise man, the wise man will change, and he'll take warning and he'll take heed because he is a wise man. Appreciate everybody that comes to be with us. I would love to do all I can to make you welcome and to help you. Many people come, people leave. We have some that stay with us, we have some that don't. Everybody is not elect, and everybody, of course, don't belong at Bethlehem because some people have jobs other places. So we don't try to make anybody stay with us. We just give them an invitation to be with us. And if they want to be part of what we're doing, well, we wholeheartedly ask them to come and take part in it. But if they don't, we don't press the issue. We just let them do whatever they want to do. There's people that have left us and been gone for quite a long while. But we pray for them just as though they had never left. We pray for them just the way that we did when they were here at Bethlehem. Though some of them has turned out to be wretched, we still pray for them. Because it's no surprise to me that they would do that, and that those that left, I knew that they were like that to start with, those that turned out to be like that. As a matter of fact, they only turned out to be like that because what was in them had to be made manifest, and they're really better off now than they was in church, to the extent that those things that were hidden deep down in their heart, that was the things that I had to wrestle with all the time up here. The evil spirits that have hold of some of you, that's in some of your hearts that I have to wrestle with. And someday they will overcome you, and it will be made manifest, and you'll go out from us that it might be made manifest. You were never of us. Whereas the Bible said, if they be of you, they would no doubt have continued with you. But they went out to show that they were never of you. So then I wasn't surprised, because I wrestled with it when it was here and it had to be made manifest. But there's one thing about it. If a person can get rid of their evil, though they sinned yesterday, if they'll confess their sins, God will forgive them and they can come and be a child of God today. The Bible teaches not to mess with them that are given to change. That is, people that are one way today and another way tomorrow, and they've got a different frame of mind maybe this morning, and then the afternoon they've got another frame of mind. The Bible teaches the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. Appreciate our brother and sister being back with us tonight from Griffin. For a while they didn't get to stay with us in the evening services, and they're beginning to stay with us now in the evening services. I like that. I appreciate them so much. I really do. I think they're wonderful people, and I kind of feel like they belong up here. So I don't want to proselyte, but if they're not going anywhere else, I got a right to, you know, I always kind of feel like this. Any fish that's never been caught, I got a right to fish for them. He said, well, they done been caught. Well, it wouldn't be swimming around if it hadn't. So, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And we're out fishing for men. And I sure love to run across some good ones. And I believe the brother loves God. All right, let's read just a little bit from the book of Peter, the first chapter and the first verse. And I want to ask you before I read, I want to ask you to pray for me, because I need your prayers. I need your prayers. I've still got a big job to do, a big job to do, a big job to do. And I need prayer, and if you want to help me, well, I need your help. If you don't want to help me, well, I'm sorry, I still love you. Just pray that God will help me, because that's the help I really need. I've got a big job to do, and the only way I can do it is for God to give me strength, God to give me the wisdom, and God to help me above all of your resentment and jealousy and hatred and malice that you sling at me as I try to walk over the wrong and rise above the evil desires of those who would love to see me fall. But to you that love God and you that are working with me to hold me up and to help me up, and as it was with Moses, rather than to resent and be jealous and find fault and tear down an evil surmising, rather than that, holding my hand up as they did Moses with confidence toward God, I appreciate you so much. God worked out some problems for Brother Richard, and he was telling me, maybe yesterday, was it Richard, that you were grateful for what God had worked out for you? Brother Gills, was it yesterday? He was telling me how pleased he was that God worked out some problems for him that we'd prayed and asked God to work out for him. And I had told him if he'd just have faith, God would work it out. It was no problem, and he accepted that. And he came back with the victory, and he was telling me how that he just told his companion. He said, well, Brother Pike said, it's going to be all right, I believe it. And he accepted it, and it was all right. And I made the statement. I said, it would be so wonderful if people as a whole could stop being so critical, such fault finders, evil surmisers, and have confidence in the Word of God or what God says to them. Just how wonderful would it be? It would be so wonderful, because they would get their prayers answered. God would honor their faith, because the evil surmisings wouldn't have a chance to get into their heart to tear down their faith. All of you that have that evil surmising, the Bible speaks of evil surmisings. And all that evil surmising, self-will, presumptuous spirit, all of that tears down your believing. That's why you can't get your head above the water when it comes to paying your bills. That's why you can't get your head above the water when it comes to having healing for your body. That's why you can't get your head above the water
when it comes to God meeting your needs and giving you joy and jubilance in the Spirit because of your evil surmisings, your wrong thinking. Whereas the Bible said God will feed you the thoughts of your heart. So then make your heart to think right things. Make your heart to think pure things. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His house or His courts with praise instead of evil surmisings and fault finding. And you'll find that you'll have a new day. You'll have a glad day, a happy day. All right, reading here, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I'd sure love for you to listen to this tonight. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, one thing that you need to notice here is that the peace of God comes to you through the knowledge of God. That is, knowing the right thing, doing the right thing, will bring you the right thing, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know, reading the 16th verse here, we didn't plan to read this. We didn't have anything planned in our reading, as always. But it is so beautifully harmonious with what just happened a few minutes ago and what Brother James said in the room out here, the video room. And I guess that's the thing that makes this so beautiful and so fascinating, is that amid all the criticism and the fault-finding and the doubt, and amid all of the harsh minds and spirits that attacked us, right in the midst of that, God still continually walks, making the great strides toward heaven. We following in His steps. God's still doing it. And even though we preach and the people become convinced and their minds become convinced and they're so smothered up and so afraid and willing to do anything, yet just a little time away from church and away from the gospel, they come back with the same carnal minds of that has that same resistance. But nevertheless, God in the midst of all of them continues to do His great thing. And I'm so glad that He does. Notice this now, it said, being eyewitnesses, he received from God the Father honor and glory. For there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, I've talked to you about a lot of things from time to time, and this morning we talked to you about the Holy Land and some of the things that took place and what we was trying to do over there in our little feeble way. And the other night we talked to you from the book of Revelation, resorting back to the map here, trying to establish in your minds and in your heart a more sure word of prophecy, that you might be ready at the coming of the Lord. You know, we've got to come to a place to where we're going to quit changing about in our mind. The Bible teaches not to bother with them that are given to change. And we've got to come to a place to where we quit switching over to and fro in our minds and take one sense of direction in our understanding and in our thinking and stay with that and stay mellow and sweet, holy and righteous in our spirit. If we do not do this, then in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man will come and you'll be left out. One thing you've got to understand is that it's not a matter of being lucky, not a matter of just getting in at the last minute and saying I was lucky that he caught me on Monday when I had a good outlook, whereas if it had come the day before on Sunday, I'd have been in bad shape because I wasn't thinking straight. I didn't have the right attitude. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of having the Holy Ghost on the inside that will make you sweet, righteous, godly, holy, and mellow, and change you from glory to glory and revelation to revelation to keep you full of sweetness and full of the godliness that God desires to be in your heart. Every day the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I am bone of his bone, and if I am flesh of his flesh, and if I have God's Spirit on the inside of me, then that means I am the same today that I was this morning. I'm the same today as I was yesterday. I'm always the same because God is in my heart. That's the way it's supposed to be. If I'm not always the same, then that means that I'm in trouble. But I can tell by the looks on some of your faces that I'm the same. Because you didn't like me before and you still don't like me now. I must be the same. Now, so then if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How beautiful are the words of Peter here, where he tells us that God has given to you and God has given to me all of those things that pertain unto life. I like the word life because that means to live. And when God tells you and me that he hath given us all things that pertain unto life, then that really thrills my heart because that's what I'm looking for. I want to keep on living. On living. How would you like to keep on living? And I want to keep on living next year and next year and next year because I don't want to die. I want to keep on living. I like this thing called life. God is the Spirit of life, and he said that I could have life and just have abundance of life. So I'm thrilled about this opportunity to have great abundance of life. I just thank God because Jesus came into the world to save a wretch like me and offer me the opportunity to have this great abundance of life. Hallelujah. I've come that you might have life, Jesus said, and that you might have it filled up and overflowing. Isn't that the kind of life you'd like to have? Plenty of life. And so then the Bible says that God has given us all of these things that pertain unto life. If we don't take advantage of them, if we don't use them, it's not God's fault. If you have to go half hungry, it's not God's fault. It may be that you're lazy. It may be that you just don't get up and do something. Like Brother Robert said one time, some people are just too lazy to even believe. Now you just have to get up and use your faith. Think what a great opportunity this is. You know, sometimes I just stop and I think and I look around me and I say, my God, I'm a son of God. Oh, I get excited. I say, I'm a son of God. I just get carried away and I say, my, what does that mean? I'm a son of God. That means that I can believe. I have the power to believe. And I think, well, that means I can believe anything I want to believe. And then I really get excited. And I think, my God, I can just believe anything that I want to believe, and God will bring it to pass if I really believe it. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, you might believe something that God's not interested in or that isn't the right thing to believe. Now, you couldn't picture a son of God believing anything like that. See, to begin with, if you got the Spirit of God, you don't have a desire for anything that's worldly or anything that's unlike God. So you're not going to desire anything that's wrong. You're certainly not going to find yourself trying to believe for something that's wrong. Otherwise, you're not a son of God. If you start believing like that, well, you know that you're not a son of God. You might as well forget about the whole thing. Because, see, your heart's not right with God. And as the preacher said over there to the man, he told him, he said, you're in the bonds of iniquity. You're in the gall of bitterness. And your heart's not right with God. You're not going to receive anything from God. So then it just thrills my heart when I start thinking about being a son of God. And I say, Lord, all of my sins are forgiven. All of my sins are taken away, not just a few of them. Father, my sins are not just taken away for yesterday. Neither have you just taken my sins away for today. But God, eternally and forever, I am free from the curse of sin, and I'm free from the sinful things of this world, Jesus. I am free, hallelujah. I am forever free from sin and from death, and have all things that pertain unto life. Don't you know that was something when John turned around and looked there on the Isle of Patmos and Jesus stood behind him, and the Bible said it was as though the sun shined within his strength. My, what a radiation to see a man standing there that looked like that life was so great and so mighty that it was just coming out of his blood genetics, just flowing out of his blood genetics. Can you imagine that kind of strength? That kind of life. You say, but Brother Pike, that couldn't be in a man. But Samson just reached out, took a hold of a lion, and just ran him like he was a kid. It was in a man. Moses stood on the top of the mountain, and the Bible teaches that he just glowed as the sun. You know, over there in the book of Revelation where it said the woman was on the mount, you know, you can look back and see the woman in the wilderness. You can tell that was Israel, because the Bible said when Moses came down, he had to put that veil over his face. Now, right? Because the glory of God so illuminated Moses. The glory of God was so penetrating the blood genetics that Moses stood there on that mount between heaven and earth, glowing like the noonday sun. The power of God. And then it says here that when Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, that he stood there and he was transfigured before those people. Why, Peter, James, John, the ones that was up there with him, whoever, they were so carried away when they saw that. My, they were shook up over that thing. Peter, he got so torpid, he didn't know what to do. I imagine he was standing there about like this, you know. I just got a feeling, he said, let us build three tabernacles. I think that's about the way it came out, because that's the way it would have come out if I'd have been standing there. And I feel like that's about the way it came out. He was so afraid, he didn't know what to say. But that voice from heaven said, you don't need three. Hallelujah. We don't believe in Trinity anyway. We don't need three. There's but one God, one faith, one baptism. Hallelujah. We don't need anything like that. What do you want three tabernacles for? So, well, we've got to have one for Moses. Got to have one for Elijah and got to have one for Jesus. No, he said, you don't have to do that. He said, I'm fixing together all things into the body of Jesus Christ. One tabernacle. I'm going to baptize all of the members of Christ into one body. All of the church is going to be just one great tabernacle. Just one great body. And the Bible said when John got the revelation of it later, he looked and said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And they saw that great, beautiful tabernacle, so many beautiful stones, one upon another, sitting upon the foundation that the apostles had laid, and a great voice saying, take heed how you build on this foundation, for other foundations can no man lay. I have 12 foundations. This is the 12 foundations. This is the teachings of the apostolic leaders. And if you become a stone to this wall or this city or a member of this body, you're going to have to conform to their teachings. 3,000 people at Pentecost was added to the church, and the Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't get self-willed. They didn't get presumptuous. They didn't decide to start a denomination or set up some special work or some church. But the Bible says that they followed the apostolic leaders that God set up as oversight. And the Bible teaches that 3,000 people was added unto the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostolic teachings. They went from house to house breaking bread, and every man eating bread with singleness of heart. They wasn't double-minded. They didn't have two or three whims of doctrines on their mind. They had one purpose. The Bible said they were all in one mind, all in one accord. And you know, if we'd come to the tabernacle here, if everybody would come to the tabernacle in that one spirit, that one mind, that one accord, to work with the pastor, to work with God, to evangelize the world, to do something for Christ, I tell you, there's no telling what God would do for us. There's no telling what God would do for us. If we just shake ourselves a little bit and say, God, we're going to do something for you. Praise God. God will do anything for you. You know that? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. And it was as though the sun shined within his strength. Hallelujah. You know, God's good to us. Isn't that right? It don't matter if you're young. It don't matter if you're old. It don't matter if you're man. It don't matter if you're woman. Whatever, God will bless you. I believe it was yesterday, a day before, just here in the last day or two, when they got that big roll of paper down there and is going to lift it up, put it on the press down there. Daryl got on one end, I got on the other, and up we come. That's all it took. Wasn't no problem. All we needed was just a little confidence that we could do it. Now, I don't know how much it weighed. They said it weighed 900 pounds. Whether it weighed that much or not, I don't know. But it wasn't no problem. We just come right up with it. You know, I believe that you can do anything you want to do if you want to do it. If you mean business, you can do it. God will bless you. God will help you. If you've got a problem, if you've got an obstacle out in front of you, and you can't get around that thing, you don't know what to do, all you've got to do is call on Christ. Just say, God, I can do it if you'll help me. And you can get out there and move by the Spirit of God, and God will do you like he done Samson. How do you believe that? God will do you like he done Samson, and you can break right through that wall, go right over that opposition, and brother, you'll be crowing like a rooster. Amen. Because God will help you do it. But you've got to take the right kind of outlook. You know, if you run headlong into your husband, or into your wife, or into your children, always fussing and feuding and fighting and having family problems, well, you're never going to have any happiness. You're never going to have any godliness. You're never going to perfect anything in your home. You're never going to have those things that pertain unto life. If I take the tuck head and I go around and I say, well, I'm in a fix. I can't help it. I don't know what to do. You know, I'll never make it. You know what will happen to me? I'll never make it. I said, I'll never make it. If I take the outlook that I'll never make it, you can be sure I'll never make it. But if I take that outlook that through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things, I can do it, Christian friend. I can do it. I can do it. You say, oh, you can't do it, but I can do it. I've been doing it for years, going to continue to do it because I learned a secret. And that is not to lean on the arm of flesh, but trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And that's what I do. I trust in God with all of my heart. I feel good, 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 as the preacher says when he comes over from Jamaica. I feel good, I feel good. Praise God. You know, you get over in Jamaica and you see that he's not playing. He's not making believe. You say, I'd love to have a banana. And out the door he goes and you say, where did he go? Say, he went to get you a banana. Say, well, when he's going to come back? Well, he'll be back in a little bit. Say, he didn't have to go far. He just went across the mountain. Ain't but 5 miles over there. He'd be right back. You know, he feels good. I'll tell you right now. You say, Brother Pike, you're kidding. No, not at all. Not just 5 miles, but 5 miles in the rain. You know, God can put something on the inside of you that can make you happy. Did you know that? Serving God is joy and peace and righteousness and the Holy Ghost. God can give you life and give you such a great strength and give you such a great power of understanding that you just love to live. You just love to live. You know, I missed all of the briars. I missed all of the problems. That little rose just loves to put out its little petals. Isn't that something? Briars around it everywhere. Thorns around it everywhere. Nettles around it everywhere. But it doesn't stop it. It just loves to put forth them little tender petals. I just love to live. It doesn't matter how many backsliders there are around you. It don't matter how many hypocrites. I've heard people say, oh, a bunch of hypocrites over at Bethlehem, a bunch of hypocrites in the Church of God, a bunch of hypocrites in the UPC. I can't go to that church. Well, I tell you, it wouldn't bother me a bit. Right in the midst of it, I can still put out my petals. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? I can still blossom and bloom right in the midst of it. That's the way it ought to be. The love of God, the power of God, the things of God ought to be in your life to where you can just blossom no matter where you're at. If you walk in the midst of a den of cockatrice and people are cursing and drinking and snorting, why, you ought to be able to just back off a little bit and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Like somebody was cursing one time, and just a cursing and a going on and a snorting. And I said something about God, and they said something about it. I said, let me tell you something. If you can testify for the devil and bellow for the devil, and you can go on cursing for the devil, I can testify for God. Amen. I'm a sovereignty just like you're a sovereignty. I'm in this world just like you are. I do my thing, you do your thing. Amen. That's the way I feel. Praise God. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if you act like that, folks will look at you. Peter said, look on us. That's what I'm trying to do, is get your attention. Trying to get the world's attention so I can tell them about something good. You can't tell them about something good until you get their attention. Isn't that right? So then all things that pertain unto life, you are the ones that have the benefit of it. Why don't you use your faith? Why don't you enjoy the things of God? Why don't you just try for a change? Somebody say, woe is me, Brother Pike. Woe is me. I just can't do nothing. You can't do nothing because you believe you can't do nothing. Why don't you take the attitude, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me? Why don't you believe God and try God for a change? See, and take a different outlook and get that old, you know, as I said before, that old resentment, that old evil surmising, that old fault finding, that old human reasoning, that old intellectual drive that you got. It's no wonder you feel so down in the dumps. It's no wonder you feel such a weight. It's no wonder you feel like you're about to despair of life. No wonder you feel like you can't go any farther. You know, a man carrying a cross on his back all the time, dragging it around, and it's bigger than he is. He's bound to feel under a load. Did you know that? But when you think about Christ Jesus taking that to Calvary, and the Bible telling you and me to rejoice forevermore, when you think about the glory of God that's given to you and all things that pertain unto life that's given to you and me, oh, how can you do anything but shout and rejoice in the things of God? So then I think about the wonderful vision of Peter. Think about the wonderful things that God said. And I think about the inspiration that Peter had carrying the gospel. Wonderful tidings of great joy. The blessings of God given to humanity. Here we are, Christian people. Not people that should be oppressed, but people that should be full of joy. People that should have a faith that it doesn't matter what comes our way, that we're going to believe our way out of it. Try it. Try it. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm so afraid I'm going to die. I got some kind of disease. So what? If you die, you're but dead. That's all. Why worry about it? After you're dead, there ain't going to be no more worrying. So ain't no need to worry your life out before you die. If you got to stop worrying, why not stop worrying now? You're going to stop worrying anyway. That's the way I look at it. See, I'm alive right now. Why should I worry my life away while I'm living about what it's going to be like when I'm dead? The Bible said the dead know not anything. Why not believe the Bible? I tell you what I intend to do. I intend to live. I intend to live. I intend to praise God and give God the glory and testify Christ while I can testify of God. Like the song said, I'm going to testify while I can testify. I'm going to sing the glory of God in the face of all of you that don't believe that the thing that I got's real. I'm going to preach every night that I get a chance, and you're just going to have to swallow down the more. And I'm just going to keep right on a going. Right on a going. Hallelujah. The Bible said, remember Christ Jesus, who in the midst of the contradiction of all of those sinners did not become weary in his mind. He did not faint. You've not yet resisted to the extent of the striving of blood. You've never had to be beat with a whip yet. Blood's never rolled down your back. You've never went that far. So then let's just rejoice. Don't faint in your minds. It's in your minds that you get the victory. Having the mind of Christ. If I have the mind of darkness, if I have the mind of depression, I'm going to bring in an air of depression. But if I have the mind of jubilance and the mind of joy, and I don't mean a bunch of ideas and make-believe and try to convince myself of something that don't exist, but I'm talking about learning the Word of God. The Bible said all of these great things that pertain unto life, they are multiplied unto you. The peace of God is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. How can that be? When I know that God's Word tells me that I'm free from death, how could I do anything but be at peace? Oh, somebody said, well, how does that make you at peace? Because I believe it. Say, well, I've heard that and I'm still not at peace. That's because you don't believe it. How can I rejoice? The Bible said, by his stripes I've been healed. You say, but I know that, but I'm still not happy. But that's because you don't believe it. See, the Bible said, beware lest there be an evil heart of unbelief on the inside of you. God said, when I come back, don't be caught with an evil heart of unbelief. We must believe the peace of God, the love of God, the blessings of God, the life of God is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. That's why there's preachers in the land. That's why there's pastors, evangelists, and all of these men. They are there so that you may have the knowledge of God. And in having the knowledge of God, then the peace of God, the life of God, the benefits of God, they're magnified in your life and they're multiplied unto you. So then, why not just forget about all the worry? Say, Lord, if I'm sick, if I'm dying, when I die, I'll just be dead and that'll be the end of it. I ain't gonna worry about it. I ain't gonna worry about it. When I die, I'll just be dead. That'll be the end of it. But Lord, I believe that you heal me. I believe that by your stripes I've been healed, God. After all, if I die, I've done no more than everybody else done. Come on now. I said, if you die, you've done what just about everybody else had ever come down done. Not but one or two ever escaped it, and that's Enoch. Maybe Elijah. Just one or two of them back there, you know, that's escaped that kind of thing. I said, all you're doing is what everybody else done. Your grandmother done it. Your grandpa done it. Your mother done it. You know, if you're getting along in age, your dad done it. Well, all of your brothers and sisters is going to do it. All of your neighbors are going to do it. Isn't that what the world wants to do? What everybody else does? They want to be like their neighbor. No, right there they draw a line, don't they? No, I don't be like the Joneses if that's the way it's going to be. All right, so then let's be original. If we don't want to be like them, let's be original. Let's be like Christ Jesus, hallelujah. Let's just sever the cord and the tie right where it's at. And let's not do the things that they do. Let's do the things of those that's going to live on and on and on and sing the praises of God. Hallelujah. I feel good, don't you? I feel good. Glory to God, when you think right, you feel right. When you think wrong, you feel wrong. So then let's think about the love of God and the life of God, the life of Jesus Christ. Let's think about the blessings of God. Let's get a hold of life. And let's move out there and do something for God. Let's get our thinking right. And I want to say this tonight, and just exhorting you a little bit. I want to say this tonight. Think right. Think right. Think right. How can I think right? Not to lean to your own understanding, not to think your own thoughts, to have the mind of Christ, think according to the Word of God. Think right, folks. That's what you need to do. Isn't that right? So then if I think right, I'll be right. Hallelujah. You say, how can that be? The Bible says God will feed me the fruits of my thinking. So then if I'm going to be eating from the fruits of my thinking, I'm going to do some good thinking. Now don't that make sense to you? Now think it over. Don't it make sense to you that if you're going to eat out of a certain bowl, you're going to put the right things in that bowl. Isn't that right? I know that I'm going to eat the fruit of my thoughts, so you can be sure I'm going to put the right thoughts in there. Amen. All right, so it's wonderful to be a Christian. You know, when you go out here and do evil. You think lust, you think the things that are wrong, you think cheat, swindling, smartness, cunningness, you know, and everything seems rosy, everything seems fine, isn't that right? But all of a sudden, something happens to you. After a while, when the fly is caught in the web, then your thoughts change, isn't that right? Now, you know, as long as you're thinking those luscious thoughts of the appetite of the flesh, you're enjoying sin for a season. Oh, I don't want to think any other thoughts, somebody would say, but remember, your thoughts is going to change. It's going to canker on you. After a while, your thoughts is going to be, what will the judge say? How many years will he give me? Will they shoot me down? Will they beat me with a billy stick? Am I dying with cancer? Am I losing my mind? Oh, it'll change. Altogether, it'll change, and your thoughts will be different. See, and you'll just go right on eating them too. Remember now, the judge will say 5 years. 5 years. Beat him with a billy stick. Whip him with a whip. Put him in the hole. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I tell you what, I like it on this side of the river, don't you? Hallelujah. I like this. I don't like being pinned up like a bird. God didn't make me like an animal to be pinned up in a cage like a bird. And I said, well, Brother Pike, I ain't worried about that anyway. Some of you already pinned up in a cage. You know, you've already been delivered to the judge. You've already been put in prison. That's why you're having the problems you're having. You're feeding on the fruits of your thoughts right now. But if you'll start coming into this gate with thanksgiving, and you'll come into this court with praise, and you'll unite with God, with the pastor, instead of being contrary, you'll get out of that prison. How can I do it, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said the anointing of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to open the doors of the prisoners. Hallelujah. He looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners. And he sent us to loose those that are in prison. And brother and sister, this will do it. This will do it. This is the right way. This is the right word. This will do it. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. All things that pertain unto life multiplied to you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I speak this to your shame that you have not the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would not have you ignorant, that is, unlearned in the things of God. I want you to stand with me. I know I've held you a long time, but I try to say a few things to you. I didn't know I preached over 2 hours the other night. I kept asking Sister Betty how long I preached. I didn't know I preached alone, but somebody told me today I preached over 2 hours. And I couldn't understand it because I hadn't hardly got started good. Thought I crowded everything and pushed everything as close as I could, you know, to keep from preaching long. But I guess it's just like, you know, like the Queen of Sheba said, the half has never been told. It's so glorious and so wonderful until it just, the half of it has just never been told. That's all there is to it. It's good to see Chris and his wife coming down to the altar tonight. Without even having to give an altar call, coming down here tonight. It's so wonderful. You know, when we talk about life, it's sweet. Isn't that right? You don't have to start calling people to life. All you got to do is just lift up life and magnify life. That's what they're looking for. I know that's what I'm looking for. Scientists, medical science, spend millions of dollars every year looking for life. Isn't that right? Those scientists are shooting at the moon and all these things. You know what they're looking for? Is life. They're afraid this world's going to blow up and they're looking for another place. They're looking for life. They want to preserve that life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm a child of God. I'm so glad I found that life that Apostle Leon was looking for. I'm glad I found that. How sweet, how wonderful. The song is sweeter each day. It gets sweeter each day. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little bit of that. Can we just a bit of the chorus? It gets sweeter each day. It's sweeter each day. Sweeter and sweeter along my way. For all through the garden I hear Jesus say, oh son, it's sweeter each day. Can you sing it with me? Grows sweeter every day. Oh, sweeter every day. Grows sweeter along life's dreary way. And all through the garden I hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. One more time. It grows sweeter each day. Grows sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Can you lift your hands up and love him? Grows sweeter. Can you sing it? Sweeter each day. Growing sweeter each day. Thy love grows sweeter along life's way. And it's all through the garden that I hear Jesus say, your love with me is sweeter each day. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba Rabba Shita Rabba Rabba Sai. Oh, Lamanala Yandala Lolo Shila Lala Sandala Lolo Salamalasi Andala Bolo Sai. Mila Mondolo Nondolo Lolo Si Talamandali Andala Lolo Shai. Yea, I hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind at any time, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Yea, and it doth grow sweeter each day, the love that comes down from heaven will grow sweeter as you walk along this way with Christ. It will grow sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, saith the Lord. As you walk along this way, it will grow sweeter and sweeter, and the hand of the Lord shall bless thee. Yea, and thou shalt find abundance of living. Thou shalt be like a tree that's watered from on high. Thou shalt be like a spring of everlasting water, a well that's springing up into everlasting life, and the joy of the Lord shall be with thee. Abundance of joy shall overflow from within thine innermost being. For from within thy innermost being shall come forth the lovely rivers of water. Yea, and they shall roll out from thee, that the thirsty that are round about thee, that they may drink. Yea, and they may drink freely without charge, they may drink. Let him that hath no money, let him come to the fountain of life, that he may freely drink. For the fountain of life is open. Yea, I have opened a fountain in the house of David. I have opened to thee a fountain that comes down from heaven. I have opened to thee waters of life, whereas thou might drink from the fountain of life, and you can have that water that there is no charge for. Yea, for I have paid the price. Yea, I have poured out of my blood. Yea, I have spilt my blood, that ye may have abundance of living and the joy of eternal bliss. Yea, the Lord thy God has paved the way. Yea, with mine own blood have I paved the way, saith the Lord. Yea, with my own blood have I made the way, that ye might have the blessings of God, and that you might enter into the glorious rest of the Son of God, that you may cry no more, that you may weep no more. For I, the Lord, shall bless thee. Yea, I, the Lord, shall help thee. Yea, I, the Lord, shall lead thee. Yea, even as a mother leadeth her little child, so shall I lead thee, yea, into the wonderful mount of God. For the mount of God is in holiness. Yea, the mount of the Lord shall be beautiful in that day. The city of God shall be established, and all nations shall flow unto the holy hill of my presence, saith the Lord. And they shall come up to learn the knowledge of God. Yea, they shall say, let us go unto the house of our God, and let him teach us of his ways. For his way shall be beautiful, and the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful in that day. For out of Zion shall go forth the blessings of God, yea, and the glory of God that shall cover and shall envelop the earth. For I, the Lord, shall bring the light of glory and the light of heaven down upon this world, that ye may walk in the light and know that I am the light of that city, saith the Lamb. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing a little verse of that, can't we? Hallelujah. Give me a key, sister. In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Can you sing with me? In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there, Randwin' free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. Can you sing one more time? In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Hallelujah! You believe it? Hallelujah! Going to the city where the Lamb is the light. The song says here, we have our disappointments. The way is filled with sorrow and bitter blight. But one of these days, the writer said, I'm going to rise and go to that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where my God is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going to that. Are you going to that city? In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Praise God. I wonder tonight, while we stand here, I wonder, you know, if down in your heart, everything's right with God. Oh, there shouldn't be anything lacking in your faith, in your heart. My, how could you be anything but happy? How could you be anything but bubbling with the joy? The Bible teaches there's a city where the streams makes the people of God glad. The stream thereof maketh glad the hearts of the people. In that city where the Lamb is the light. You know, it thrills me because it's not just a song. It's not just a sermon. But it's a reality. That's what thrills me, is it's a reality. There really is a city where the Lamb is the light. Hallelujah. You ever got into that light? The Bible said if you walk in that light, you can be in that city. You'll have fellowship one with another if you walk in that light. Oh, in that city where that Lamb is the light. My, such light you've never seen before. The Bible teaches that with that bright light, with the brightness of the light of the Lamb, He will destroy sin and perversion. With the brightness of His coming, which is the light of the Lamb, the Bible teaches that everything will change. Everything will be glorified. Everything will transformate. Everything that's fallen to this low state of sin because of Adam's disobedience, that lovely Lamb called the Son of God made it all right. And now He is so lovely, He is so radiant, He is so beautiful. The sun shines in His strength. And that light of that Lamb keeps breaking forth into the earth. And that light keeps coming down and it's changing everything. Changing everything. Can we sing that song? Give me a key, sister. Oh yes, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. That light is changing me. Oh, changing me. The light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Sing it again, will you? Oh, yes, it's changing me. That light is changing me.
Oh yes, it's changing me. The glory's changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of the Lamb of God. It's the glory that is changing me. Let's sing this. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let thy will be done.
Give me another key, sister.
I found a new place in the heavenly, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord.
You love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together. Give me another key, sister.
Oh yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul, for something has happened, and now I know that He touched me and He made me whole.
Can you come tonight? Can you? Oh yes, Jesus touched me. Oh yes, Jesus touched me.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole.
Sing it one more time. My Savior touched me. Oh yes, Jesus. Oh yes, Jesus touched me.
And oh,
can you sing it?
That floods my soul, for something has happened, and now, oh, now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole.
One more time now. My Savior touched me. Has he really touched you tonight? Have you felt the touch of God? Have you really felt the touch of God?
And oh, the joy that floods my soul, for something has happened, and now, oh, I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me whole.
Hallelujah. Tonight, Jesus, I praise you for your wonderful blessings. I praise you for the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus, for being with us tonight. Lord, because we can live forever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, because we can be whole and healthy, be healed, oh God. Be strong in the power of your glory and the power of your might. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Reach out tonight, Jesus. Lord, and touch my body. Father, reach out tonight and heal tonight. Father, may thy spirit, oh God, go out over the audience tonight. May the healing of God be with us. May the glory of God overflow its banks tonight. Lord God, and illuminate us with the glory that comes down from heaven. Father, heal tonight. May every person receive healing tonight. May every person receive deliverance tonight. May thy spirit enrich us with the treasures of heaven. I pray thee, O God, tonight, that your blessings would be with us. I pray thee, O God, tonight, that you'd look down from yonder's world and do something special. Help us, Jesus. By your great spirit, Jesus, help us tonight. Help us tonight. Help us tonight. Let's sing this little chorus as we praise God and worship for just a minute.
Leave it back. Leave it there. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there.
Have you got a burden?
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and you have to get along on mega fast, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little bird. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there.
Sing it with me, will you?
Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there.
Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now if you'll trust and you don't doubt, the Lord will make a way for you.
You say, but Jesus, I don't know how. I don't know how we're going to meet the bills. And I don't know what I'm going to do. But oh, he knows. Glory to God, Brother James, he knows. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. Just say, Jesus knows. Trust him with all of your heart. Have you ever trusted Jesus with all of your heart? All of your heart. Have you ever given him all of your trust? All of your heart. Not part of it, but all of your heart. Say, oh God, I'm leaning on you. Father, if it don't work, I'm gone. If it don't work, Brother Gary, I'm gone because I'm trusting you. Glory to God, I'm not trying to figure anything out of my mind. I don't feel like I can do anything. I got no plans but Jesus. Father, if it don't work, I'm gone because I'm trusting in you with all of my heart. Hallelujah. What a day. What a glory. What a blessing. My, when you start doing that. Woo, I feel something, don't you? Glory to God. When you start trusting God with all of your heart, the doors of heaven slip back. My, he said, I'll pour you out a blessing you'll not be able to receive. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful time. Let's slip our hands up again, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. Oh, we'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing all this wonderful love. Can you sing it again? Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus.